This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Big news this afternoon. House Republicans passed their $1.5 trillion tax cut package. And the reforms, the Senate is scheduled to take it up this evening, but there was a snafu. We'll talk about that in a moment. Also, the ACLU is again in court trying to force federal officials to facilitate an abortion for an underage illegal immigrant that is in federal custody. Travis Weber from FRC's Center for Religious Liberty joins me with the details. And the United Nations General Assembly is scheduled to hold an emergency session on Thursday to discuss President Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Members of the UN hope to pass a resolution calling on Trump to withdraw his decision. Yeah, right. Florida Congressman Ron DeSantis is here to discuss that topic. Also overnight, Saudi Arabia intercepted a ballistic missile fired by Yemen rebels. Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee in the House, will be here with his analysis. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Let me remind you, we are coming to the end of the year and unfortunately just a little bit short of where we need to be. And this program comes to you because of folks like you across the country. And it's a ministry of the Family Research Council, part of our outreach, all listener-supported. So if you'd like to be a part of making sure Washington Watch stays on the air, anything that you give between now and the end of the year will be matched. We have a generous donor that is matching all gifts that come in. And this week, if you make a donation and you join the members, the partners that are behind Family Research Council and Washington Watch, I will send you a free copy of my latest book, No Fear. All you have to do is call 1-800-225-4008, 1-800-225-4008, or you can go to TonyPerkins.com right there. All right, earlier this afternoon, as I said, the House approved the first major tax reform package since 1986. Here is House Speaker Paul Ryan earlier today.
Today, we're giving the people their money back. The bottom line here is the typical family making the median income in America will get a $2,059 tax cut next year alone. What this is real relief for families who are living out there paycheck to paycheck, struggling to make ends meet. You know, they hear about the economy getting better. They turn on the TV and they see the stock market going up. But now we need to make sure that these people in our communities, in our country who are struggling, see their own personal economy getting better. And that's what this is all about.
Well, the bill will pass the House by a vote of 227 to 202. Just 12 Republicans joined with Democrats in opposing it. The reason most of those Republicans were in states like New York, New Jersey, California, where the bill's $10,000 cap on state and local tax deduction, the taxes they pay locally, you can deduct off your federal tax. Well, those are high income states, and that cap would not cover all of the state and local tax. Of course, those are high tax states as well. New York, New Jersey, California, high tax states. Anyway, those 12 Republicans voting against the bill. But here was, there was a snafu in the bill that apparently was discovered after it was passed. And it dealt with Ted Cruz had a provision that he was able to get in that dealt with the what's called the 529 savings accounts for education savings accounts. And it was expanded to apply not only to college, but it applied to secondary education, private schooling, and homeschooling expense. It was actually pretty good. I shouldn't say pretty good. It was very good. It was really a major step toward educational choice. But the so-called Byrd rule said that it was too much policy, not so much about fiscal issues. And so that will be struck from the Senate version tonight when the Senate votes on it later today. And it'll come back over to the House, and the House will have to vote again without that provision. And there's another provision regarding, I think, college endowments or something. It's another educational aspect. But the 529 provision was something that we supported, something that was made the bill even more pro-family. Now, there was some – it's still a very good bill. I mean, it doubles the child tax credit from $1,000 to $2,000. It is going to result in middle-income families seeing an increase in their take-home pay because their taxes will go down. The government's going to get their hands out of your pockets to a – well, put it this way. Instead of having four fingers and a thumb, they're going to be down to maybe four fingers, three fingers and a thumb. So a little bit less. So it's overall good, not perfect. We lost the Johnson Amendment. That was a big disappointment, talking with the White House how we're going to make up for that. But there's more coming this week, so we're going to be focused on the continuing resolution, which has some problems. Don't have time to go into that today. We'll probably talk about that tomorrow. But a lot more news to talk about today. We're going to be talking about the United Nations. The Security Council voted to basically, I mean, they're meaningless. What they say doesn't matter. It's not binding. And so the Security Council voted against the United States. The United States has veto power on it. And this was regarding the move of the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in Israel. Well, you know, they're still all in a fuss. And so they're going to have an emergency meeting of the General Assembly on Thursday, pushing a resolution to call on the president to withdraw his decision. We're going to talk about that with Congressman DeSantis of Florida. And then also the Middle East in turmoil. The Yemen rebels firing a ballistic missile on Saudi Arabia all the way to Riyadh, almost hitting the palace, but it was intercepted and destroyed. We're going to talk about that with Congressman Scott Perry. But first, the pro-lifers were worried the federal government facilitating the abortion of an illegal teen in government custody back in October would create an opening for other moms to demand the same. And guess what? We were right. It didn't take long for the left to prove them right. They're back in court trying to get minor who is illegally in this country, who is in the custody of the federal government. They're trying to get the government to force the government to facilitate that abortion. Joining us now to talk about it, Travis Weber. He is with FRC, is our Center for Religious Liberty. Travis, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, so what do we know about these cases that have just recently been taken to court?
Yeah, so the recent action in this case, similar to the situation that arose several months ago, which the ACLU sought the permission of a federal judge to force HHS to release several unlawful minor girls to go get abortions in the United States. These girls have come across the border, detained when trying to cross the border, held, cared for in the custody of HHS until the cases or their situation can be resolved. And in that custody, with the assistance of the ACLU, which is not going to miss an opportunity to terminate a life in a mother's womb, with the assistance of these organizations are seeking to get abortions on U.S. soil. So obviously this is something that upsets many people who don't want to see the government complicit in this. That's all HHS has argued. They have the weight of legal authority on their side. If you look at the government's brief opposing the plaintiff's request for temporary relief here, the midsection of the brief argues how the government can legitimately promote life, and the many courts have pointed this out. That's what HHS is trying to do here. Nevertheless, the ACLU is engaged in an attempt to get court permission to, again, force them to release these girls to receive abortion. So, again, tragic situation. It's really sad to see this happening.
What was interesting, which I was not aware of till recently, with the last case in October, the Department of Justice was in the middle of an appeal to try to stop a lower court ruling that the government had to facilitate the abortion. The ACLU has been accused of lying to justice officials about the timing of the appointment. And the Justice Department has followed this case up, actually, in a very rare but commendable move. They have moved to hold the ACLU accountable. Attorney General Jeff Sessions' team is taking the matter all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, where they are demanding disciplinary actions against the ACLU attorneys.
Yeah, I mean, this is a noteworthy aspect of this case. The earlier the stage of emergency relief several months ago being fought out in the D.C. District Court and Court of Appeals, but before the DOJ could appeal to the Supreme Court, the girl, with the assistance of the ACLU, went and got an abortion. And the whole issue here is, in communication between ACLU attorneys and DOJ attorneys, what was said and what was communicated that would have given the DOJ an impression that they still had time to appeal and an impression that the ACLU was not going to sneak this girl out for an abortion within hours of when the DOJ would have asked for emergency relief. So we don't know with 100% certainty here what happened, but it appears at least plausible that the ACLU intentionally misled the DOJ with the purpose of sneaking out the girl for an abortion before DOJ could ask for relief. So in their request to the Supreme Court, they rely on precedent which says that when you have something like this and a party basically takes action as the ACLU has here, it moots the entire issue and the whole case should be dismissed. Now, the Supreme Court has not ruled on that request yet, but it's very significant. And now this latest case or segment of the case, which has arisen over the last several days, is again, a tragic reenactment of that earlier request for more abortions, where you have two more minor girls who are, the ACLU is trying to get them abortions. So, I really hope the government fights this hard, and they've been doing that. So we'll have to see how this plays out.
Well, Travis, two main points here before we run out of time to take the takeaways. Number one is, as we warned, that this would be an opening through which we would see more teenage vulnerable girls drug through for government-facilitated abortions. That's happening right now. But the second aspect is the Department of Justice not simply walking away from the previous case, but aggressively pursuing the dishonest tactics of the ACLU. To me, that suggests that the government is, in fact, serious about promoting the sanctity of human life.
Yeah, and they've made these arguments very strongly in their briefs. I hope they continue to do so. And it's good to see. Very tragic this is happening, and we need to be aware of it and continue to monitor it.
All right. Thanks so much, Travis Weber, for being with us and keeping us updated on these developments.
Thank you.
All right, folks, coming up next, U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley cast the lone vote Monday against an Egyptian-drafted measure urging nations to not move their diplomatic missions to Jerusalem, like the United States is. We'll talk with Congressman Ron DeSantis, chairman of the National Security Subcommittee, when we return here on Washington Watch. So don't go away. There's much more to come on this edition of Washington Watch.
This Christmas season, give with purpose and meaning, a gift that protects life, marriage, and religious liberty. At Family Research Council, our mission is to promote these three core values in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. We are working to ensure that our religious liberty is defended in the public square, that human life at all stages is protected, and that family values are promoted in our country's public policies. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for our future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to Family Research Council, your gift will be matched, meaning it will be doubled by a generous donor. And any donation is tax deductible. Give with purpose this Christmas season. Text FRC to 444-999. Again, that is text FRC to 444-999. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC and our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. So glad to have you with us. All right. The United Nations General Assembly will, according to Reuters, will be holding an emergency session on Thursday to discuss President Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. At the meeting, the General Assembly is set to vote on a resolution calling on the Trump administration to withdraw that decision. Now, the vote comes on the heels of a UN Security Council vote seeking to nullify any move to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. The U.S., which wields veto power on the council, rejected that resolution, effectively killing it. Nikki Haley cast that vote. First time in 6 years the United States has used its veto power. Joining me now is Congressman Ron DeSantis. He represents the 6th Congressional District of California, of Florida, and is a member, the chairman of the National Security Subcommittee. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We see the UN moving to try to slap the president for his move of recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Now, it has no meaning. It's non-binding. I mean, the president's not going to be swayed by this, is he?
Oh, absolutely not. The thing to understand, Tony, is in 2016, the UN did 24 resolutions. And 20 of them were anti-Israel resolutions. And so this is a body that is pathologically anti-Israel. It's a body that's naturally going to be opposed to somebody like Donald Trump, who believes in putting America's security interests first and doesn't believe in transnational governance and supports American sovereignty. So this is to be expected. But I can tell you, I mean, just looking at this, last year the UN was passing Resolution 2234, which the Obama administration was helping to facilitate. They did not veto it, and that was enacted. Now we hear this year, and yes, the UN's crying about the recognition of Jerusalem, but what a long way we've come from that dastardly resolution to now a president who's doing what the American people want and other presidents have promised, recognizing this capital. I think President Trump knew that the UN would kick and scream about it. But the thing is I think that'll get worked out of the system as long as we stay true to our word. I do think you will see other nations follow suit and recognize Jerusalem.
And that seems to be their concern, that the United States will be a leader in this effort. And Israel, which declares its capital as Jerusalem, that is their capital, that once America recognizes that fact, other nations will follow suit. That seems to be their concern.
Yeah, well, and I hope that concern ends up being validated, because I'd love to see that. It's important to point out, and I get so sick of hearing people in the UN preen about this, and they're so negative about Israel. We know what Jerusalem was like under Arab occupation between 1949 and 1967. And the fact of the matter is, Jews were systematically excluded from the old city of Jerusalem and all the holy sites. Christians were treated as second-class citizens. And it was an area that really fell into disrepair. Since Israel has maintained sovereignty after the Six-Day War till now, you have this city of Jerusalem has blossomed into one of the great cities in the world. Israel takes care of all of the history. Jewish, Christian, and Muslims have full religious freedom as well. So they've been great stewards of these sites, which are so important to so many in the Judeo-Christian tradition. So that is something I think that's internationally significant, and it's something that Israel never gets credit for in any of these international forums. But the fact of the matter is, if Jerusalem, the old city, were under Arab-Muslim sovereignty, religious discrimination would follow as clear as the night follows day.
Oh, without question. Congressman Ron DeSantis, my guest, talking about a vote that is scheduled to take place in the United Nations General Assembly on Thursday, essentially telling President Trump to withdraw his recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Congressman, let me ask you a question. How many other countries that declare a certain city as their capital do not have that capital city recognized by other nations?
Well, in terms of the United States, up until Trump's announcement, Israel was the only country in the world in which we did not have our embassy located in that country's chosen capital city. So not an exactly great way to treat one of our strongest allies. And the thing about it that I think rubs a lot of people in Israel the wrong way on the ground when you go over there is, you know, we have our embassy in Tel Aviv, yet if you go into Jerusalem, there are two different American consulates that are in Jerusalem, and they basically exist solely to serve Palestinian Arabs. And so we're told you can't talk about final status, you can't get involved in Jerusalem from Israel's side, but the State Department has no problem setting up different entities for Palestinian Arabs in Jerusalem. So it's been a major double standard, and I think it's been really an embarrassment for the United States government, just because the policy is so out of whack from where the American people are with respect to that issue.
And we should also state where the law of the United States is. For 22 years, it has been the law, and we've had presidents that have given a waiver in terms of the location of the embassy every 6 months.
Exactly, and that was why it was so frustrating when the president made the announcement. The press is like, oh, he's upending 70 years of American policy. And as you point out, that's not true. Since 1995, it's been our policy that Israel's the capital, or Jerusalem's the capital of Israel. It should be undivided, and our embassy should be there. And you'll notice that some of the Democrats who actually voted for that in 95 then came and criticized Trump when he makes the announcement. They say, oh, well, that needs to be part of a negotiated settlement. The Jerusalem Embassy Act of 95 was not contingent on any peace agreement. That was saying we should do that move unilaterally as American policy.
Yeah, and the president stating that he believes this will further the peace effort now that Jerusalem is off the table. Congressman DeSantis, thanks so much for joining us, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thanks, Tony.
All right, Congressman Ron DeSantis of Florida's 6th Congressional District. Okay, coming up next, Saudi Arabia intercepted a Yemen rebel missile over Riyadh. We'll talk about that with Congressman Scott Perry, who serves on the Foreign Affairs Committee, when we return here on Washington Watch. Check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, you got folks still standing by to take your phone calls as well if you would like to partner with FRC. So don't go away. We're coming back.
Spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day by working to advance family values in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. The internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. Learn more at frc.org/internships.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is TonyPerkins.com. Everything's archived there. In fact, you can go back and listen to interviews that we've had previously, this week, last week, week before that, all right there at TonyPerkins.com. Lots of resources, links over to the Family Research Council site as well. As we mentioned, the House passing a historic tax reform measure earlier today, 227 to 203. 12 Republicans voting against it, those from high-tax states, New York, New Jersey, California, because of the $10,000 cap on state and local taxes that you can deduct from your federal income tax. They voted against it, saying that cap wasn't high enough. As I mentioned, a snafu on a couple of things that were not going to be able to make it through the Byrd rule in the Senate, because the Senate will vote later tonight. They will take out those provisions of the 529 education tax provisions, which were, as I mentioned earlier, very good. House will vote on it again in the morning, and then it should be on the president's desk before lunch. So I'll be watching for that tomorrow. And I think the stock market's going to go up even more as a result of that. All right, I mentioned earlier before we went to the break, I didn't give the phone number. If you'd like to partner with FRC, we've got folks standing by, some of our great team standing by to talk with you at 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008. If you call today and you make a contribution, it will be matched, but additionally, you'll get a free copy of my book, No Fear, if you call and make that commitment today. All right, Saudi Arabia has intercepted a rocket that was fired by rebels in Yemen, the Houthis. And they are stepping up their confrontation with Saudi Arabia. It was a Volcano 2H ballistic missile, and it was aimed at the royal palace in Riyadh. Now, it was intercepted and stopped by Saudi's air defenses. The Nikki Haley, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations last week, this was before the attack, displayed what she said was undeniable evidence that Iran was supplying the Houthis with missiles. Now, Washington has backed the Saudi-led coalition in its war with Yemen. They're at war with Yemen. And this is just more evidence of Iran really being the fuel, the behind the curtain with all the bad actors over there. And again, go back to President Obama and bolstering Iran with the nuclear deal. And every time we see something unfolding over there in the Middle East, that it's either ISIS or Iran. And this is why one of the things we see happening more than any time in modern history, and well, I don't know how far we go back, but I mean, I think certainly as we see the modern nation states in the Middle East, they have a common enemy among them, Iran being it, and so they are more prone, more eager to work in concert with not just the United States, but even Israel. Now, some would say, well, that's this whole thing with moving the capital of, or the embassy, rather, of the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem is going to upset that balance. No, actually, a very smart move on behalf of the president, because they need America, and they also need Israel. Look, I'm just going to tell you from my direct encounters and conversations and meetings with foreign officials in Egypt and in Jordan in my recent trip over there, there was clear indications of the close intelligence sharing, if you will, with Israel. I mean, they worked very closely, defense forces working very closely, communicating, because they have a common enemy in Iran and in ISIS. And so those threats have forged relationships that I believe could lead to this, a managed peace. Okay, I've said this before, I don't think we're going to get to a place where you have perfect peace in the Middle East. You don't have perfect peace anywhere, but you're not going to have some kind of peace deal in the Middle East that's going to solve all the problems. I think you're going to have managed peace. And what happened in the last 8 to 10 years is that America became weak, and as a result, the bad actors started doing whatever they wanted to do. Now you have a president who means business, and again, you have this real threat with Iran. And so you have America, Israel, and many of these Middle East countries that have, you know, reasonable people wanting to work together. Very dynamic situation over there, but some positive things that are occurring. There really are. But something we need to continue to pray about. All right, don't go away, folks. We got more Washington Watch still to come. We're going to see if Congressman Perry is going to make it. I think they're doing a vote on the floor. But we're also going to be taking your phone calls here on Washington Watch. So don't go away. A lot more still to come.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? And are you looking for an internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain an invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that is frc.org/internships.
Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC and our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like
Welcome back Christmas to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. That's Bing Crosby. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at T. Perkins. All right, here's what we want to talk about. As I mentioned, the United Nations General Assembly is slated to vote on Thursday, basically telling President Trump to withdraw his recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. So how do you think President Trump should respond? Now, it's pretty certain that they're going to pass this resolution. It's non-binding. I mean, it's like a kid throwing a tantrum. Oftentimes the parents respond the wrong way and give in to it, but I don't think this president's going to give in to the tantrum by the UN. But how do you think the president should respond? All right, 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in on the conversation this afternoon. How should the president respond to the United Nations if, in fact, they pass this resolution calling on him to withdraw his recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel? All right, let's go to Mississippi where Joseph is on the line. Joseph, welcome to Washington Watch.
How you doing, Brother Tony?
I'm doing quite well. And yourself?
If it getting any better, I wouldn't be able to stand it. I tell you, I'll share with you your call screen a bit. We're America, and when we make a definitive stand in any direction, like with Jerusalem, is that the world is going to follow us eventually. Because we're leaders, we have to stand alone for a minute or two, and the world's going to follow us. And also, too, I think that we can forget about peace in the Middle East because it's biblical. You know, it's always going to be like that. Jesus comes back, you know. So, yeah, are going to follow us, even if they're doing immoral things, because we're America and what we represent. People are going to follow us.
Right.
Thank God this is a moral thing that we're doing.
Right, absolutely, Joseph. And that's a part of leadership. And I don't think that America has American leadership in recent years has, A, understood the role of leadership, and B, I'm not sure they wanted that role of leadership in that way. But you're absolutely right, Joseph. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas. America, and that's what we were talking about with Congressman DeSantis, is that that's the concern, the fear that the those who hate Israel have, is that by America leading, people will follow, other nations will follow. Well, guess what? That's the definition of leadership. I mean, if you think you're a leader and no one's following you, well, I mean, you're just taking a walk. Nobody, you're not leading anyone. So that's critical. And to be a leader, you have to be unequivocal in the stands that you take. You can't change your mind, because then you become wishy-washy and nobody can count on you. And so if you know, it's like erasing those red lines. Nobody takes you serious. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Joe in Delaware, Ohio. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Mr. Perkins. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for all you do for the Christian cause. I would say time to we've given the UN, it's just a large waste of taxpayer money. You add up the money we've given them, you know, the last, you know, 15, 20 years. What have they done to us? They're always anti-Israel. They're always anti-U.S. They always support the terrorist regimes. And the waste of taxpayer money on their building, their security details, everything is just a large waste of taxpayer money. I think now that we've got the guy in the White House to put a stop to this and save the taxpayers a ton of money. And that would be the second best Christmas gift after this tax reform goes through. So God bless all you do, and keep fighting a good fight.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that, some good insight there. I do think if there was ever an administration that would follow through on a lot of the what I call Republican bloviating, where they talk and they boast of and they pound their chest over the United Nations, but never do anything. I think this president likely would do something. And here's another reason to do something as it pertains to reforming our relationship with the United Nations. Now, I don't know if we should pull the plug completely. I'm not going to say that. But I do believe that relationship has to be reformed from a standpoint of one of the things that's been happened a lot under the Obama administration, is that radical social policies that our Congress rejected, certainly the American people rejected, through their state representatives and state legislatures. The State Department teamed up with NGOs, non-government organizations, a lot of them funded by Soros, to push these radical social agendas on foreign governments. I know this for a fact. And not only is it documented, but I've spoken to a number of foreign ambassadors and others who had to put up with this stuff. Our State Department and foreign countries pushing radical abortion agenda, the whole homosexual agenda. And then it comes back through the United Nations in forms of resolutions and tries to influence policy here in the United States. So it's a backdoor to a lot of liberal left-wing ideas. In fact, I'm really hard-pressed to find anything good that has ever come out of the United Nations, now that I think about it. 866-372-7234. Let's go to John in Illinois. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, hello, Speaker. I just wanted to mention, I think the president ought to bring up the fact that it has been a law that we are to put our embassies in the capital of every country, and that Jerusalem has been recognized as a capital for many years, and this should have been done years ago. The way they ignore the laws, like the immigration law, it seems like it never existed anymore. it's just something he ought to point out, because I don't know that they seem to not mention that a lot.
Yeah, you're right, John. They fail to see that fact, as we were talking about it with Congressman DeSantis. John, thanks so much for listening. Thanks for the call. It's shocking to the press in particular when a president, a politician, an elected official actually abides by the law, especially what we saw under the Obama administration, that lawless administration where the law, Constitution, meant practically nothing. And this president, you know, as I mentioned last week, I was in the White House, in the Oval Office with the president as he discussed this, and he said, look, it's been the law for 22 years. We just finally did what no other president was willing to do. Of course, we commend him for his courage, for being willing to do that. All right, let's go to Kathy in Texas. Kathy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that from my limited amount of knowledge in the political world, the UN has become a joke because they pass resolutions against countries like the United States for how we mistreat minorities, women, and the gay and lesbian groups, but they ignore the ones in the Middle East who are actually killing people for those things. What I think you ought to do is President Trump ought to tell them that they should move their UN from U.S. soil.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we've got another caller on the line that's got a suggestion of where they can move it, so I'll hold that. Kathy, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate you listening. Let's go to Jane in Oregon, who has a suggestion as to where they should move it.
I think they should move it to Gaza and then turn the UN building into nice condominiums.
Might not be. Well, you know, since they're so concerned about that area, make it a little closer for them to get to it if they were over there.
Yeah, well, then they'd learn a lot about it, too.
Yeah, they would. Jane, good contribution. Thanks so much for listening and Merry Christmas. All right, let's go back to Texas, where Charlinda is on the line. Charlinda, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony, for having me on the program. And thank you again for all you do for us. I just wanted to say that I stand behind Donald Trump 100% and think that he is voting, that God has his hands over Donald Trump. And for him to acknowledge the God of the Bible and to not be afraid to stand against every other country and to do what God has wanted done for a long time and to not be afraid. I just support him in all of that. And that's what people are losing sight of. They're losing sight of the God of the Bible, that God ordained Israel as his nation, his chosen people. And he ordained, gave them Jerusalem. He gave them everything in Israel. And it belongs to the Jewish people, not to anybody else. It doesn't belong to the Palestinians, who really don't exist. It doesn't belong to the Saudis. It doesn't belong to any other country. It belongs to God and the people that he chose to live there.
All right, Charlinda, thank you so much. Appreciate you calling in and listening and being a listener. There's two aspects of this. They're clearly for Christians, for evangelicals who believe the Bible, as Charlinda actually just laid out, this land was given to the Jewish people. And Jerusalem has long been the capital of the Jewish nation. Now, they lost it. You know, they went into captivity and they were dispersed, as Scripture says. But then it says the nation would be brought back together. And guess what happened in 1948? They came back together. An amazing, miraculous move of God in reestablishing that land. And then as it unfolded and they were able to retake the city of Jerusalem, the capital city, in 1967, all of it. And that's been their capital. So spiritually, you can see it from a biblical standpoint. You see all of that unfolding. But secondly, for those that's not important or sufficient, or, you know, there, I understand. I don't agree with it, but there are some who hold a different theological take on Israel and the nation. I get that. Don't believe it. I don't agree with them, but I understand that. So let's put that aside. Let's just look at it from a political standpoint. As has been pointed out, there is not another nation in which they have declared their capital city that the United States has not recognized by putting its embassy in that city. And of all of our allies, one of our closest allies has been Israel, especially in that region of the world. So why would we not do that for Israel? And it's been the policy of the United States since 1995. And it's been reaffirmed recently as about 6 months ago, overwhelmingly in the United States Senate by resolution. So this is nothing new. It's just actually somebody doing what America's elected representatives said they believed. Now you actually have somebody walking it out, and everybody's in a tizzy. All right, let's work in a few more calls here. Let's go to George in Ohio. George, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. Appreciate your show, and I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas. And I just agree with the other callers. I'd like to see President Trump just tell the UN to get out of New York City, and at the same time, we need to quit spending we're the ones that pay for most everything that goes on at the UN.
Yeah.
Plus, I don't understand why in the world we keep giving foreign aid to the Palestinians. I mean, they're the arch enemy of one of our best allies.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'd like to see those two things stop immediately. Funding the UN and funding the Palestinians.
Well, George, I tell you, I think if they push this president the wrong way, I think he might do it. I mean, he's the kind of guy that could do that. And for the funding of the Palestinians, there are some real issues there that there were some measures that have been in Congress in the appropriations to address that, because they are fomenting the Palestinian Authority. I've been there. I've seen it myself. They are fomenting hate toward not the people. I'm talking about the Palestinian Authority, the government officials, Abbas and his crew, fomenting this hate toward Israel with these educational programs that they do with our funding. This is what funds, like Palestinian TV. They have like it's kind of like their version of Big Bird, but it's a big bomb. I mean, you know, it's about teaching people to hate. And they give lifetime payments to the mothers of suicide bombers. And, I mean, they glorify hatred. And we're helping underwrite that. So you're absolutely right. That needs to stop. And there are some trying to do it. Hopefully they will succeed. Part of that is all the appropriations bills being blocked in the United States Senate. All right, folks, sorry we didn't get to the rest of the calls. I apologize, but not enough time. But Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow. And I hope you will join us as well and invite a friend to become a listener of Washington Watch. Check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. Also, give us a call if you'd like to partner with us, 800-225-4008. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, "When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing."
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.